deeply desired. There's not a set threshold. No responses once they're out onto that question, accepting more questions. Which is holding space for defined gravity lyrics and not for the lack of questions. Yes, Ava.
Okay. What? No.
Okay.
Okay. What in passing this resolution, then if there's no threshold, just because I want to know for CCEA reasons, but like in passing this resolution, what is the purpose if not setting a threshold for the items that you want to change?
I think I can maybe take that. Like Nick mentioned, the main point about passing this resolution is to show that we disapprove of certain aspects of it and also to present alternatives, which we have done with our recommendation. So we're not just saying, hey, this is something that we disapprove of. We've made line-by-line edits. We've given suggestions for phrasing as well. That being said, there are certain non-negotiable, I wouldn't say non-negotiables, there are certain pieces that we believe very strongly in, particularly when it comes to the masking and special settings. But again, if this is going to be like a push and pull or negotiation, I think that's going to be a different discussion. But just want to reiterate that as it stands, we don't think the draft policy should be going into action. I think Nick has.
Yeah, thank you, Sonika. That's right on. And to add one more point to that, you'll notice through some of the suggestions, we kind of give it back to the committee as a give and take. For example, we could define every location on campus as a special setting if we severely reduce the threshold for, I'm sorry, severely increase the threshold for what constitutes a disruption, right? That it has to be like pervasive and severe. Or we could limit severely the number of special settings on campus such that we can increase or, sorry, lower that threshold, right? So it's really give and take about how expansive we want to make the policy. And there's multiple solutions that would make it work, but there is no one direction in premise.
And another piece, if I may add, we found the language used in the draft policy to be very vague because there are certain implications to using certain terminologies. And most of the suggestions that we're making is either to pare it down or to ask for clarity. So I think that's really where we're coming from, just trying to see what exactly is the purpose of this, because there's a lot of vagueness and a lot of room for misinterpretation as it stands.
Do we have any other questions? Yes.
Yeah. On page 19, paragraph 17, so on GPSC, recommendations, we have, I mean, I agree with you with the recommendation, but what I want to make a point is like the one we have above, we have a recommendation of addition of something, right? So can we have something like to add in there instead of just removing the whole thing?
Any
So,
response would be happy to be yielded to. I'm asking.
Well, I was just gonna say for like removing an addition of things, if you have a suggestion for an addition of something, like we weren't like when we were going through this with the process, it was like removal of something, the addition of others. Sometimes it was like this is unnecessary, or again, it was not removal of something. And if we don't have an addition of something, that's not because nothing should ever be added. It was simply because we could not think of something that was useful and achieve the goals stated in the beginning of this document.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't even think of anything right now, but I feel like from university standpoint, there might be some cases where they might have to like recognize people. So like from campus ID or from unmasking, are there any other things that we can do so that university can still recognize people when they want in some cases? Like, I don't know, like NET IDs or digital copy of your ID card if you don't have an ID card with you all the time. Yeah.
I also want to clarify, all those are listed as sponsored for the resolution 4 or any resolutions in general.
do have speaking rights as it is recognized for that. So it's only for the duration of the discussion of the resolution that they're a sponsor for. So non-voting members can't do have speaking rights if they are a sponsor for this. So that way we don't have to yield to you very often.
So maybe I could make the point that while our broad goal would be to remove this section entirely, our more specific recommendation right underneath is to remove the brief unmasking part and leave intact the ID display part. So this would maintain a mechanism should the committee recognize that that's still important to be able to do for the university.
Does Andrew have a question?
Yeah, I have a question kind of going off of that. Like, isn't the objection that any form of like making people identify themselves and people refusing to do that is part of like the stop and frisk like potential? So I kind of agree and want to push back against what you just said, where I think if the one of the main goals with removing that part of the policy is to make sure nobody's racially profiled, then we have to remove all of it. Because any form of stop, you need to identify yourself. Like any form that allows university personnel or people acting for the university to do that seems dangerous in that aspect.
My main thought on that is that, like, as somebody who has been, not that it's an insult, but I've been mistaken as like custodial and janitorial staff here. People have definitely not exactly seen me and been like, grad student, show me where the labs are. Regarding the idea that this is like, you know, versions of stop and frisk, who gets profiled, who gets asked who's on this campus and why are you here? Agreed. I think in the sense of what would ever be adopted by a university and if they're desired for ID people, we have our ID cards. I do think that complete removal simply wouldn't be acceptable to the university in any way, shape, or form. And mediating it is better than getting nothing in that sense. Because that's something that I agree with you, like, principally. I also don't think that that's something that would ever be accepted by a university governing body.
Yeah. And just to add on, am I allowed to add on?
You can continue.
Yeah, that was kind of my point in coming to the meeting where we were kind of drafting this policy, this specifically this language in the policy. But like, yeah, I don't know if like that, like the sentiments that I shared about like stop and frisk language, because that's how it reads to me, is like universally shared across everyone that like passed this. But even after hearing the presentation, the language that was used, like he was talking about like camera footage of people masking, it seemed less like they were trying to protect students and more so like they're trying to identify violators. And so like, yeah, that was kind of my sentiments. I think like, yeah, like maybe there's a better mechanism we can come up with other than like forcing someone to unmask and or show their ID just because you think they're like suspicious. But yeah, like, I don't know. I think that would be something we have to discuss.
Sina, the passage.
I just have a slight addition, I guess, with on top of the, my feeling is that on top of the like potential for profiling, that this requirement to ID yourself brings, like specifically with masking, the verbosity doesn't have any exceptions for health concerns, and it doesn't have any exceptions for like religious coverings, and I think that's unacceptable in the way that it's written.
Seeing that the past two questions have been more discussion-like rather than question-like, I was going to move into discussion period instead. But Matt, did you have a question? Or
no, discussion.
All right.
I could, yeah, question. If I could yield.
I guess this is a little bit more discussion at this point. But yeah, I definitely think that you know, should need to unmask, especially if anyone has an auditing condition. That's not really a great idea, but I understand that providing ID, I think, is reasonable. I mean, at the vet school, at least, it's ID access only. Just because we've had problems in the past with people, you know, looking to do unsafe things with animals or bringing possible problems in, related to animal safety and health. So I think in the case of like those situations, especially, that I don't think IDing, like showing your ID is such a huge deal. I also carry it around me all the time. I know like most of us use our favorite books, and at least for me, it means getting into my classes.
Do you also have a question?
I guess also on like the line four, we were said like wanted to remove true, correct, or seriously, or for good questions or not. I guess that it has like the same real definitions. But sometimes it doesn't hurt to clarify, especially in the case of like, I know our government's been really using that for teaching of white supremacists. But I would appreciate if the university keeps that kind of hate speech and false violence against people of color and queer people off campus.
Do the sponsors have anything like to add based off of that? If not, with that, we'll move into discussion period instead. Question period was mainly to inquire, but discussion period is now more about the contents of this legislation, thoughts on passing it or not passing it, things to amend on specifically, the nitty-gritty work essentially. So anyone is able to speak in terms of this on their perspectives and stuff. If anything, it helps out a lot for all those that are voting to give their perspectives on this, so that we can all be in good conscience, represent the graduate student campus at large.
I want to move to, just to your point about, it was paragraph four, line
yeah.
four?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your point was that we shouldn't necessarily remove true threat, serious or persistent disablement or destruction of property. I just want to make sure.
I don't think we should remove it. I know you said like there's existing legal definitions, but I think with the new government that's going to be in place, some of these definitions might be removed, or there might be legal changes to that decrease protection for people of color, especially. So I think it's important as a private university to protect our students and protect diversity on campus. We want our students to feel safe, even when the American government doesn't quite provide that.
Yeah, if I could just maybe shed a little perspective on why we were seeking to remove some of those definitions, and Maggie, I might yield to you for clarification, but working with some of our fellow students in the union, we were concerned about the overapplication of existing legal standards and what could be construed as a different definition, right? So when we use the words true threat in a university policy, it's unclear if we're going off of a Cornell instituted definition or if we're going off of an existing legal definition, and to what extent the university has the latitude to vacillate between those different definitions as it fits their interests. And so I think here it's either we could implore the committee to very strictly define what a true threat is for Cornell and implicate that all references to that are by the Cornell definition, or the easier way was to just write it entirely. But maybe that provides some.
Yeah, I think I
disagree. Back and forth. I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry.
Just want to make sure there's like a bit more stuff with this and stuff. Also, wasn't mentioned before, but timing for discussion period for each person is 1 minute long, just to ensure that everyone can have a chance, opportunity to speak on the perspectives of things and stuff. Same timing, so we, as always, you'll be at that, like 30 seconds left, 10 seconds left, and there's gonna be bomb when, you know, well, bomb was not the right word. Stop once time has elapsed. Yeah, anyone that wishes to speak? Yes.
Yeah, just in regards to masking and deeming somebody a non-affiliate, you're essentially criminalizing the not wanting to show your ID. And I will say, I'm not gonna say if I've ever been in a protest, but let's just say hypothetically, you usually don't bring your ID to someplace if you know, even if it's not you making things go left, you wouldn't want to necessarily be identified by authorities. So inherently, if I'm asked for my ID and I either don't have it or I choose not to present it, what are the recourses then you know, especially when you have implicit biases, you have threat assessments going on by police and other safety measures that may inherently see me and a lot of you in the room and deem me more risky. How do you make sure that there are guardrails around it? And again, I don't even think this is up for this document. I think that's more if somebody is committing a crime and needs to be arrested and then identified, that should be stay with like the police or other safety measures rather than this policy.
Thank you. Sander?
And just to go off of that, like, it's not even just a, like, you're intending on doing something that might break rules or anything. Like, I work in a in an unlocked building. Like, I don't need to carry, with a locked office, I don't need to carry around my ID. Like, and I don't use Cornell gift card, whatever the hell. So, like, I don't carry around my ID. I literally couldn't be identified. I could not identify myself on a daily basis walking around this campus. And I am at a much lower risk, and I know that, but, like, it is, I don't see how this can be a good thing to allow.
Thank you.
If I could yield.
All right. I also want to separate note then. I don't know what exactly the policy says on like ID stuff. I'm sorry, I haven't gotten to reading all of it. I guess like something that we have, I think at least I always carry, and I know I'm coming from a different perspective than I do, but I always carry like my driver's license on me. And I think that is, I guess, a less risky way of IDing people. And then also just, I mean, I don't know. My mom has raised me that like I always carry it in case something happens to like my body or something. Being a woman walking me at night all the time, and so that like someone can identify me and stuff like that. And also I like going to protests, I always take my ID for reasons if like something bad ever happens, you know, that there's a way to identify me. So I don't know what the exact terminology used is, but maybe adjusting it to your license or
thank you. Aaron?
Yeah, kind of response to that, but just a general sentiment. Just a reminder that this policy deals with expressive activity. So it's specifically unmasking during times of expressive activity. And I get that there are times when someone might be required to show ID, but I don't think, or unmask, but I don't think anyone should be required to unmask, but I don't think that should be at a protest or while you're using your freedom of speech. I don't think leaving that up to Cornell administrators and authority and giving them that much leeway to decide when you should identify yourself, especially in regards to when you're exercising free speech, is a good idea. So while I agree, yes, there are times when people who are not supposed to be in buildings sneak into buildings, that is completely separate than expressive activity.
Thank you. Yes,
I think I would just like to understand if what the recommendation here is. So should we talk about removing all forms of identification during expressive activities? Or are we talking about just to ensure that we're structuring a discussion over here and we're thinking about the resolution as a whole? I'm just curious as to what thoughts are with respect.
Thank you. Maggie?
A quick thing also that is noted in here is just that also within this policy, the like quote unquote consequence or meaning of not being a university affiliate at an expressive activity is actually not quite enumerated in this. So we're also like, it was like, oh, to deem if you're an affiliate or not, but we also don't actually know what happens if you're deemed to be not an affiliate or if you don't show ID or you're deemed a not affiliate. We actually don't know what happens in that circumstance. So we're not really sure where to go from here. I just don't know. Yeah, that is a thing that we're unsure about that is kind of written into this of being a moment of unsurety.
Thank you. We could yield to Michelle. All right, Nick, yield to Michelle.
I have more kind of clarification. The university in the past, not in relationship to expressive activity, but in relationship to other activity, has given non-university affiliates essentially like you can't return to campus for X amount of time. Generally, it's 1 year. do not come on to porn on the property. This is predominantly in relationship to dumpster diving, but I'm sure that they will apply, you know, the same legal measures to other ones.
Thank you. Do you have any other points of discussion? I'll still be taking any more, but if not, I will be entertaining a motion to move to the previous question on this resolution, which would need to vote on the resolution.
All right, yeah. I could just make a comment, maybe kind of alluding to Shrinka's question. My understanding is that the policy or our response is currently worded indicates that our broader goal would be to not have a masking policy. But because we realize that's not necessarily practical for university's measures, the current stance remains that we would not like students to be able to be forcibly unmasked, but IDs essentially remain in effect, but without us making an exact statement that we want people to be able to be identified by ID, we just kind of leave it as is. That's from my reading of the room, it's actually kind of already there, so I'm happy to hear the sense of that. Thank you for that. Entertaining any motions or discussion points? Yes, Alex.
I'm so late. I just wanted to ask if perhaps I missed it, but I wanted to clarify before voting, if there have been any points made on the discussion that we had last week and then continued on potentially this week in the definition of spaces that are not allowed to be have expressed activity.
So we actually haven't brought it up today, so thank you for bringing it up again. As it stands, we recommend the removal of living spaces, libraries, laboratories and offices, and dining halls from the special spaces categorization. Finnica, correct me if I'm wrong, but from the last presentation, this has not changed.
No, it hasn't changed.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I hope that clear. What?
Yeah, if I can follow up on it, I think the only thing that still impacts, still that bothers me a little bit about removing all of these special categories is spaces that people live in, students on campus. I think that there's a degree of home and safety and comfort that can be that we can attempt to find in living spaces. And I think that it's problematic almost to say that these students do not have a right to sort of peace and safety and security in their own homes at the university.
Thank you for that point.
Matt? Yeah, to piggyback off that point too, it's like prohibiting expressive activity after 9 p.m. Like in terms of expressive activity, let's say a dormitory was to host a party that went until 11 p.m. Like all of a sudden, does this come into play just because it's not necessarily a protest, but activity of expression, cultural activities? Like, I agree that like leaving that in is definitely, it's problematic from the one end of like what is expressive activity, but it's also problematic from the other end where it's like there needs to be some semblance of safety, especially as we're moving into, you know, murky waters, to say the least, the next semester and beyond.
All right, Nick yields to Michelle.
I maybe want to offer a counter to that. So in undergrad, I was an RA, and there were multiple hate crimes in the dorm room that I worked in. And my residents actually had a lot of expressive activity trying to show their support to each other as a community. So maybe one argument would be that those students wouldn't have been allowed to do that. And I think that was maybe the only thing that they found solidarity in those times. Just a thought.
Yeah. I yield.
Thank you. Andrew?
I think another thing that we should just think about is, and this doesn't affect us as graduate students as much, but there are spaces on campus where people both live and learn. And so if we say, if we keep, the living space, or if we say, okay, we're fine with the living spaces being this being a special case, then a lot of the, then there's like crossover between what is a living space and what is a learning space, or what is a living space. And so I think a lot of it is just trying to keep it from overly restricting.
Thank you. Nick yields to, and then
Mahan has been right, so it's fine.
I guess I feel like one thing that I want to make sure is clear and understood just from listening to the comments being made. I think it's important to remember that we're talking about the context of expressive activity and like excluding like living spaces as like a special space. I think that doesn't grant protections for any kind of like harassment or bullying that happens in those spaces as well. I think we have good systems in place to try to address harassment, or we have some systems in place to try to address harassment in those spaces. I just don't think it necessarily, I don't think the added restriction within the expressive activity policy is necessarily the best way to address that concern.
Thank you.
I guess this is just a suggestion along the same section, that there should be an addition of, rather than saying in the proximity of inside the residence hall, I think there should be an addition of also like spaces of religious prayer.
Based on this, Yuqing?
I personally think that rather than arguing about what should and should not be listed as the space, we should also talk about the definitions of what isn't acceptable, because from here I read like anything within visible or audible distance. For example, what if I stand outside a building and I shout something, like define like audible distance. Like, I think it's not this is not a very like well-defined term to me. And I think there should also be more clarity in regards to like what kind of like visibility or audibility, and also like what kind of things might be said that would or would not be acceptable.
Thank you. Office standard.
I'd like to make a motion to extend the meeting by, 10 minutes.
Motion has been made to extend it by 10 minutes, meaning it'll be ending at 6:40. Is there a second? Seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, that motion passes. All right. Yes, Cameron?
I think it was Meg.
Cameron has higher priority since he only gave one speech.
Well,
okay. Not to call you out.
It's okay. I guess responding to, I'm so sorry, I do not know what you said. You wanted to include religious spaces as a special setting where expressive activity would be restricted?
Yeah.
Okay. And then another comment, kind of totally separate to that, but like, yeah, like in the expressive activity draft, distributing flyers is expressive activity. And to piggyback off of what you said, like suppose some resident of a dormitory wanted to put up a Black History Month flyer, and then someone said, hey, that seems like a genuine threat to me. They would be required to remove the flyer. I know that seems like an extreme case, but like, it just gets into kind of the discussions of what we were having during drafting our resolution, which was it gave a lot of like leeway to like administrators, and it left a lot of things vague. And then when it came to students, they suddenly got very specific in their definitions.
Alex?
I never just spoke on this, but I think in the same vein, we can also acknowledge that what Michelle brought up earlier is that acts of harassment and hate speech are not included in this policy. And therefore, this theoretically leaves room for ambiguity for those actions in the name of expressive activity to occur in people's living spaces. And, you know, as a Jewish student, I'm aware that that has happened to Jewish students on cross campuses in the United States in their living spaces. But I think it's important to acknowledge that there is a gray area between harassment and expressive activity, and this leaves room for that.
Thank you. Matt?
Actually, no.
Yeah, I also don't really love the idea to remove libraries. I understand that that's like a space that might, I guess, you know, be a nice place to protest if everyone's going to hear you. But also, I know, so I was an undergrad here, I know from hearing a lot of people, that ended up making people a lot more upset than pushing for your cause, and especially for students who are trying to study for really hard exams and whose parents are struggling to pay their tuition and they get financial aid. It's a situation where you're possibly risking someone's academic status, doing stuff like that. And I just think that libraries, especially an institution like Cornell, we spend a lot of time studying. And so I just don't think it would be appropriate to remove libraries from the
Yeah, so I'd really like to center us in the actual text of the report itself, which defines expressive activity and a bunch of these other things, such as, to some extent, like what is disruptive. At one point it said anything louder than a one-on-one conversation, which is really broad, and bans a lot of things. To the point of libraries, that library, I think, I don't know the name of it because I'm over in the engineering quad, but there's a window that opens out onto the arts quad. This would effectively, because we can see them from there, like, you know, if you're in the library, you can see this. We're within visible distance of the arts quad. That would just stop all protests on the arts quad. And I find that to be bad. So I think that in situations like this, again, about the whole, like, what's the cutoff for us? Where's the give and take? How loud are we versus how far away we are? Like, that's, you know, that is something that could be talked about. If there's specificity, then we could have responded to that. There isn't specificity, that's the problem. And we cannot write around a lack of specificity when, anyway, there's no amount of editing that could get around the lack of specificity that currently prohibits expressive activity of the river.
Nick? Yeah, if I could just build on Maggie's point, I think one concern that came up again and again is, and also to Yuching's point, is what actually qualifies as disruption, right? And when you read the kind of very narrow limitations on that definition, if at all provided by the policy itself, it conjures images of constant construction on campus, bus delays, float days, any event of more than 10 people really feels like a disruptive activity at that point. And all of those things in general are welcomed or occur very frequently, at least on campus. So the question then is, if we are to make an expressive activity policy, why should we come down harder on activity that has been stated to be integral to Cornell's mission as an academic institution more than we would come down on something that's, you know, merely infrastructural, like construction or a bus delay, for example. So putting it all in perspective, we know academic freedom is important. Expressive activity is therefore also important. We need to protect it and make sure we don't inoculate our campus from inconvenience.
Thank you for that. Before we go to any further discussion points, I do want to be conscious of time in general. So this is not an official vote at all, but if we were to vote on this resolution today for all voting members, please raise your hand if you would pass this resolution as is. This is a quick straw poll. Yeah. Okay. It's just only a straw poll just to gauge and see how things are and stuff before we go to any further things, because it seems like we are going through further discussions on nitty-gritty and stuff. Is it more productive to continue a discussion when we've already extended a meeting, especially given that we have external vacancies and the vacancy of the Finance Commission Chair to vote on as well? I am making this just to check in and see where everyone's heads is. So if you would be voting in favor of this resolution as is, unofficial vote, please raise your hand or placard. Okay. With that, I guess I would still be entertaining any motions to move to a previous question on this in this case. If anyone likes to make that motion, please do so we can have an official vote or continued discussion, either or. But just want to be conscious of time. Yes, Sander? Go for it.
If we don't pass this today, then this does not thing coming from GPSA does not go into the consideration by the committee. They have, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, they have a draft version of this, but they will not get like our final version with the approval of GPSR.
Yeah, if I could point of information.
I was just going to add.
Yeah, I just wanted, yes, the chair of the committee has asked for in advance versions of this to see where GPSA was and where our heads were at. But if I could make the argument that it would severely hamper the graduate student voice in this process for us to not put forward a cohesive response before December 9th.
And one more thing is we are obviously open and friendly to suggestions. So if there are suggestions that you think is going to, if you can make those suggestions in and we can like move forward, that's something that we're obviously open to.
If I also may add, I also want to respect that GPSA is being at the forefront of giving their voice, their perspectives, and representing the student body, especially in a for a committee that's reviewing a policy as important as this and such. I do want to make it clear to all voting members that please don't have that looming deadline as a reason to pass or fail this, because having no statement is somewhat better than having a statement that graduate students cannot agree on whatsoever. We want to make sure we emphasize quality, not quantity of things. But it seems that everyone is giving their perspective things and there is productive discussion. I would encourage there to be amendments made if needed be. But I just want to put that out there that yes, it's important for GPSA to express what our stance is on this overall, but please don't have that deadline as a good thing that forces you to vote when you yourself are not confident in the vote. Ava has basically not good. I'm sorry.
And to that point, just back to the question about graduate and professional student assembly not having their voice heard. Essentially, the way that the CCEA, if I may speak on it, is working is they're open for feedback right now. So all you have to do is send this to the chair of that committee and your voice will be heard, but also passing a resolution would also make your voice be heard. But that's the whole reason the CCEA came here in the first place. So just know that they are open to feedback. And if you send this to them, that they will be taking it into consideration either way, whether you passed or you don't.
And very quick, that facilitates individual feedback as well. So if you feel that there's something that we have discussed here that has not been taken into account, feel free to let your voice be heard also. Okay.
Yes, Mac is recognized.
I want to move to make an amendment to page 19, paragraph 7, line 1, to remove the language after it's not prohibited on Cornell's campus, so basically removing university personnel. Actually, leave university personnel, but removing may ask an individual to present a campus ID to establish a campus affiliation, and instead make a suggestion, and we can figure out the wording more along the lines of university safety personnel is referred in cases where there is criminal activity where they deem it's worthy to identify a potential non-affiliate or a potential actor who's acted in a criminal manner. And then also requesting that they, in the final document, go ahead to define what non-affiliate means to the policy makers. So I know that's two things. We can split it up into two votes if needed, but.
A point of information.
Yeah.
We're not amending the text underlined one directly. You're just adding this to as a bullet under our recommendation.
Yeah.
I see. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. An amendment by addition has been called for. I guess you can rework that as you go, essentially.
Yeah, I can restate it too.
Does the sponsors deem this as friendly?
Yes.
All right.
I like it.
Yes.
All right, sponsors deem this friendly. I'll do a quick vote. All those in favor of this amendment? Great. All opposed? Seeing none, that amendment passes. Great. Okay, we're making some progress here. Yippee! Another point of progress. I am entertaining a motion to extend the meeting by 15 minutes.
Seconded.
Is there a dissent? Seeing none. New official time is 6:55 when we end this meeting. All right. Do we have any other amendments on the floor? Yes, Alex.
I don't know exactly how I'd want to word this, but I'm happy to discuss it and take feedback. But I think that simply removing the statement of living spaces, libraries, laboratories, etc., is also vague on our part. And I think that a more productive statement would be to request that they narrow the scope of their broad statements, such as living spaces, libraries, etc. Because I do think that it's important to acknowledge that some of those spaces, students deserve the right to security and peace in those spaces. And so I would say, rather than to simply request that they remove those sentences, to more carefully define them. And that would also include the distances around them.
Okay. So it would be an amendment to get rid of the recommendation of removing those specific spaces, but instead implementing a substitute recommendation, which is to request that the committee narrows down on it, has been made. Do the sponsors find that as friendly?
I do not. And I can like give you my, if I may, I think if we go ahead and ask for narrower definition, it's just not going to happen because we need definitions for almost every single phrase in this document because it's not defined properly, which is why we're just asking them to remove certain things and not really pushing them to define, because I don't think the committee is ever going to take the time to define this, and I don't even think they have the power to define, which is why we look at the perspective that we use, which is to see how can these restrictions be extrapolated and used against student body, which is why we essentially call for removal rather than asking for definition. Because if that was a purview that we thought or a pathway that we thought was acceptable, there would be definitions required for like every single sentence all at once, to be honest.
All right. This is an amendment that was made that the sponsors do not find friendly. All those in favor.
Oh, and also it's just me, but there are other sponsors, so maybe I don't know how that works.
Point of information. What does it mean for a sponsor to find something friendly?
So this means that the sponsor likes or doesn't like an amendment. That doesn't mean that you're officially voting on it and stuff. It just means that there's more context for the voting members to then vote. Should we make this amendment happen or should we not?
Point of information. It's also procedural. We say yes, it's friendly, then it's an easier way for it to be adopted automatically. We say no, it's not friendly, even if we like it.
I sent
you
not
2 months ago. Oh my gosh.
Okay. Anyways, all those in favor of this amendment, please raise your hand or placard. All those opposed? Motion failed. All right. Yes.
I would propose something with a similar mindset, but I would rather change the definition of visible and audible. Like, I think there should be like a similar list of locations in there, but instead of just like being within visible or audible distance, we should have something a bit more specific. Like, I mean, I personally would say like any form of expressive activity that the students can like avoid themselves. So for example, like say there's a protest going on outside the window of the library. Like I can choose not to look at that protest, right? So it might be like that is acceptable as like something within like visible distance. On the other hand, if somebody like took a loudspeaker and like, you know, broadcasted some message that I don't want to hear when I'm like in my own room or something, like I would think that is not a good form of expression to be had. So I would favor having like a reasonable definition of what is and is not acceptable within this same like list of locations.
Point of information? I don't know if that's asking a question or also answering a question. I hope it's both because that's what I got. Union has this issue as well. In contract language, it's like, oh, we do not want to cause an unreasonable disruption. In legal language, sure, dude, me like talking to my lab mate saying that like, oh yeah, we have a meeting later, like we're gonna have a union meeting, you should come. I disturbed their work for 10 seconds and they're my friend. That's not unreasonably disrupting their work. But within legal language, we have this thing called a reasonable standard. There's not, to my knowledge, anything that's kind of like a reasonable standard or reasonable disruption. Like, is that a thing within like policy language that you guys have dealt with before to come up with like, would a reasonable person find this disruptive? because I agree that the like visual or audible, like I can see really far, my eyes are great, this is really unhelpful. Is there any kind of like language that's typically used in these kinds of cases for like a reasonable standard? Or is there a way for us to, I personally, I don't think we should move that list. Let me phrase that, sorry. I don't think we should change a recommendation. Is there an add-on that we could do that is like, please provide a reasonable definition or like a reasonable standard? Is that a thing that ever happens in these?
Does anyone wish to?
So I think a good way to specify things would be, I know like in the libraries, there's like something like, these are whisper spaces, these are like silent zones. I think maybe having like, I have a decibel reader on my phone because I played violin for a while and I'm kind of a freak about how loud things are. And so I think maybe having that exact definition, and then also a certain thing of like, if it's happening to you before, I'm sorry, Maggie, is that correct? Yeah. Okay, you had before mentioned like, oh, what if someone's playing something outside of the library? I don't think that's an issue as much as like happening in the actual space of the library. I think making sure that like that is specified, I think, and also the same thing, like inside the actual residence dorm, places where people feel safe, places where people are studying, not outside of it. It's outside of it, I mean, like, close your windows.
You, Cameron?
Yeah, I just wanted to note that I feel like a lot of the conversation we're having today kind of mimics the conversations that we have when writing this resolution, and that we're all just hitting at like kind of the specificities and definitions of certain things. And I think I don't know if this is true, so I think I missed the last meeting, but like the kind of agreement we came to is like expressive activity when implemented in real life has so many idiosyncrasies that when you try to write one policy that kind of hammers down at it in such specificity, it's just not useful in promoting the healthy dialogue that Cornell says is at its core values. And so like a lot of these conversations we're having is like, well, what constitutes a special setting? Well, how loud is too loud? Like, I think that's kind of why, to kind of explain the wording we're using in the resolution, is like, maybe we should just remove it, because I don't think there is an effective way to define specifically in every single scenario what is acceptable. I think everything just kind of varies.
To Eugene's proposed amendment or using of an amendment, I will point to the comment that we made directly after page 8, paragraph 3, where we say explicitly, what do you mean by significantly visible or audible? This is an extremely broad definition, which would, among other things, prohibit marching across our spot if the library looks out over the air spot. We do ask directly for a definition and the parties involved in making that definition, if that clears the amendment.
Thank you. Entertaining discussion points or an amendment or a motion to the previous question or a motion to table. Making any
point of information? Do we have quorum?
We definitely do have quorum.
Do we now? I assume so.
We still do, because the only person that's left at the moment that has voting rights is Xander. But there should be 19 people, to my understanding. And we have not done another roll call yet. So 19 is the number, unless if someone calls for another roll call. So that means 19 is the number. A simple majority of 10 votes in favor is needed to pass this. Yes, Alex?
I'm not asking for another roll call. I just want to be included, and I can't wait.
All right, that bumps it up to 20, which means you need 11 votes in order for this to pass. Yes, Matt?
The previous question to vote on resolution 4.
All right. Representative McConnell moves into the previous question. Is there a second?
Seconded.
Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we're going to move into votes on this resolution. I'm going to elect a roll call vote for this case, if you may.
Francine Acklin. We might have gone down from the
All right. Then in that case, can you do a simultaneous roll call and roll call vote?
Yeah.
Thank you.
So what are the options? So for example, if I want to table the resolution, it's still just in yes.
So the only thing that you can do, because we were doing the previous question, is only voting on this. If you don't think we should pass this, vote nay. If you think you should pass this, vote yeah or aye. And if you don't have enough information to make a confident vote, you can abstain. The only ways in order for this to pass is with enough ayes. So a nay or an abstain would just vote against, essentially, but different shades of it, essentially. If you wish to table this, I would recommend that you abstain. But if you are very much against this resolution because of everything, then you can also nay it. And with that, you can continue. Got me.
Francine Ackland. Samantha Bloom.
Aye.
Nicholas Brennan.
Aye.
Cameron Chappell.
Aye.
Jason Chivirko.
Aye.
Elizabeth Gatz.
Aye.
Alicia George.
Aye.
Dinesh Gemeyer.
Aye.
Shrinika Hampi.
Aye.
Mac James.
Aye.
Shrikant Karaikal.
Aye.
Ocean Kareem.
Abstain, as I am the chair.
Anurag Koyada.
Aye.
Abel Agressa.
Abstain.
Zongyan Liu.
Aye.
Xander Lynch.
Aye.
Ian Wen.
Aye.
Seem Set. Irene Gattini.
Aye.
Inaudible.
Yeah, Irene, say it again.
The Irene.
Aye. Hello. Hello.
Got you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Yuting Wu.
Aye.
So that's.
Was Alex Land also added into the?
Oh, game? Sorry. So sorry. I just said I would add you, Alex.
Okay. Nay.
So that's 19 total with.
All right, 19.
Yeah.
And with 16 ayes, one nay, and two abstains, this resolution has passed with a simple majority. Yay. We'll now move into external vacancies portion of this meeting. This was not included in the agenda before, but it is needed as this is a time-based thing. We, as a voting body, need to appoint a person for a financial commission position as Anurag's term expires this year. So I guess would we open the floor for financial commission chair nominations? Entertaining a motion for that.
I move to open the floor.
Do you have a nomination?
I'd like to nominate
Anurag Koyada. All right, a nomination for Anurag Koyada has been made to re-elect. Do you accept?
I accept.
All right, accepted. Do we have any other nominations or motions to close the floor? Yes, Matt?
I move to close the floor.
All right. Floor is moved to close. Is there a second?
Second.
Any objections? Sent? Seeing none. Congratulations, Anurag. You have been re-elected. All right, we'll now move into the external vacancies that has been added to the agenda, which is Bigfoot Barn Planning Committee. We have two positions for this.
Did we not have one? We went to two.
Thank you. All right, we have two vacant positions for the Bigfoot Barn Planning Committee. Entertaining motion to open the floor for those nominations. Xander?
I would. I'll nominate myself.
All right. Xander moves to open the floor and nominates himself. Is there a second? All right. Seconded for the opening of the floor. Seeing no dissent, that'll happen. You accept that since you self-nominated. Do we have any other nominations? Seeing none. All right. Do we wish to close the floor for nominations? All right. Thank you. Any seconds? Seconded. Any dissent? Seeing none. Thank you, Xander. You are second person for. All right. And for the last position for the Big Red Bar and Plan Committee, we will hold space. For that. And with that, we'll now move into new business. There is no new business. Yay. We'll now move into open forum, open agenda. Do we have anything for open agenda? Yes, Matt.
Just real quick soapbox. I think there's some type of social chat connection between us because we're all at different schools. I just think it's paramount whether that's a WhatsApp or a Slack or something. Just,
all right. A request for a social channel for all voting members has been made. Yes,
We have a Slack now.
Oh.
It needs to be better advertised, but we have a Slack. I'll have an email with the link.
Here's the advertiser.
Yay.
Sorry, Andy's not, Andy is then.
Yeah, we started Slack 2 weeks ago, so it not have to be to everyone, but we'll try to do that.
I've had three parties since then.
Hey, the Slack chat has made. All right, do we have any other points for open forum? Yes.
Shout out to the non-voting members that sat with Shrink of the team as well as from the team. Great commitment to your institution, and it's very appreciated.
Woo! Any other points for open forum? Do we have any motions? Yes.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn, is there a second?
Yes.
Second, is there a second? All right. It has been adopted. Thank you, everyone, for this. We have gone through.